Time for our monthly visit with our friends from Encourage. They're located at 478 East Grand Avenue here in Wisconsin Rapids, right across the street from Hotel Meat. And today, Ryan, and she's brought along with her Sally Martiniak, of the president of Forward Community Investments. And we're going to be highlighting the Tribune Building project. So, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
Good morning, Carl.
Okay, so get right up by those microphones, folks.
Okay, good morning.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about last night. You had another meeting on the Tribune Building project. This was to get all the people that have been involved. Did you have a good turnout?
Yes, actually, we had a great turnout for people on summer, early fall evening. We had about 100 people there.
Okay, that's very good.
It was great.
Okay, so what... What was a recap of what the folks discussed or learned at the meeting?
Well, let me just share for the listeners. It was recorded by River Cities Community Access.
Okay.
So the entire meeting will be posted on River Cities Community Access, and they should check our Facebook page and or the Tribune Facebook page to get that information if they want to see the full meeting. There was the first community meeting that we had since January. And so what we did was we called people together to report on the state budget decision because a lot of residents and business leaders and others have been engaged in advocacy work, calling our legislators, writing letters, calling not just our legislators, but calling legislators from across the state because we've progressed through the Joint Finance Committee. And we worked very hard on that for 11 last week when it really, I have to just say, hats off to Representative Krug, who took it all the way up to the 11th hour. And we had CEOs of companies here locally making calls to the Speaker of the House and the Majority Leader right up to the last hour before that budget was approved, advocating for the Tribune and why entrepreneurship and what the Tribune represents is important to this community. So what we wanted to do last night was say we're disappointed. However, it's not the end as it relates to the Tribune itself. And so Representative Krug, though he wasn't present last night, he was in Madison because they were working on finalizing the budget, did a video last evening, which is also then available on River Cities. But he talked about that it was a tremendous effort on the part of so many business leaders and residents in the community, and that he is actively, along with Senator Tustin, continuing to pursue other things, and that they feel that there is value in supporting the Tribune.
Okay. So I know last time when I had him on the air, he talked about the fact that there's other funding sources within the state budget that might be used to support the Tribune Building.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So is that the next line?
Yep, that's exactly what he talked about last night. And he talked about the fact that he was... he also talked about what Southwood County did gain in the budget process, particularly the $4 million investment in Alexander Field.
Mm-hmm.
And we did share with everyone last night that, you know, we were happy to advocate every time we were in Madison, not only for the Tribune, but also for the investment at Alexander Field, which was very important and needed because we have jets and planes on the ground there. Because, Sally, our guest, really enhancements needed in that airport. So,
and it's going to help business travel overall.
Absolutely.
Because I've heard from the folks at the airport that we have people now flying in their jets, not just to play Sand Valley, but also to do some business in our area.
Yes.
So,
So we also thanked everyone that was present last evening.
Right.
And I would thank right now on the radio, so many people took the time to make phone calls and write letters in ways that have been in this position, that kind of outreach and advocacy to our elected officials so that people in Madison that are making decisions about allocation of resources know what's happening in Southwood County and what our opportunities are, what our challenges are, and why we are deserving of state investment. So I think that in itself is a win.
Well, that and the fact that there's been other similar other similar projects in this. So Representative Krug has said, come on, gang, it's Our turn.
Yep.
We've been waiting.
Talked about a few of them in particular, one in particular last night, the Confluence project in Eau Claire, right? And we did talk about that because we took a site visit there in February, and we had a group of community leaders, including the Y, the city, the county, et cetera, through a training program that we offer at Encourage called Blueprints, which is about training organizations with development collaboratively and how to think differently about financing projects. That is a perfect segue to our guest, Sally, right?
Right.
Who has done many of these projects across the state. Sally is located in Madison, but they have a presence across the entire state.
Okay, yeah, let's talk. First off, maybe give us a little background on Forward Community Investments and in the Tribune Building Project.
And I would love to, but before I do that, I also want to make a point in terms of what the Tribune, and I believe what the last 11 months with working in Madison in terms of joint finance and the state and so forth had meant. I happened to be at a reception on Monday evening, and it was a WEDA reception, Wisconsin Housing and Economic Development Authority, and one of their board members, Kate Zeisky, came up to me, and we were talking about if I was familiar with Encourage, because one of the things that all of the conversations and so forth have gone to all levels of state government. So I think one of the things that the entire budget process also did was really make other people aware of what's happening here in central Wisconsin. So mm-hmm. whether or not it was fruitful in terms of the actual money, I think it did garner a lot of friends that this project.
And as I've talked with Representative mm-hmm. Kruger in past shows, that's part of the long-term process. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's multiple visits. It's like a salesperson making a sales pitch. Sometimes it takes multiple visits before you finally get the sale made.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so talk a little bit about your group.
Okay, Forward Community Investments. What we are is we've been around for 24 years in financial institution, a CDFI, and what that means, we're actually a nonprofit organization ourselves, and what we do is that we lend money to other nonprofit organizations. CDFIs very quickly were started in the mid-90s, and specifically they were started to bank the bank the unbanked and the underbanked. So most CDFIs, we have about 900 across the U.S. There's 23. You can either lend money to individuals, a lot of first-time home mortgages and so forth. They can lend money to small businesses. And in our case, we have the smallest niche of the market. And that is, again, lending money to nonprofit organizations, mission-aligned organizations is what we like to say. And our specific mission is really we have a targeted focus on advancing racial, social, and economic equity. And so we do that throughout the state to Encourage for many years.
So what attracted you to Encourage and also to this project?
The innovation. So first of all, really just the whole idea of what the project is doing, and it's not just what's happening inside the project, but what's happening outside the project. So we really, really do look at our projects. We look a lot in terms of the community involvement and the community engagement. To involve the community from the start has been something that has really it really speaks to our heart and to our mission.
And nearby, you are also involved in the YMCA,
yes.
Aren't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
mm-hmm.
Yes. So we actually, we provided new market tax credits to that project. Actually, we will be, so the closing is yet to come, but we attended the groundbreaking just a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're working with the Marshfield Y as well.
Are you going to be involved with the project here with our Boys and Girls Club in the Y?
Well, the answer is that is one of the reasons why I'm here today, too, is visiting the Y as well as the Boys and Girls Club. So, yes.
Mm-hmm. So what's your impression, given the activity in this area? What's your impression of what's happening in the greater Wisconsin Rapids area?
There's several hubs in the state that are outside of the norm, and here is one of them, where you do look at a different kind of idea that's percolating from the community. A lot of that having to do with the work, the training, and so forth that Encourage has been doing for many, many years in terms of civil engagement and so forth. So Rapids is one of those places in the state that truly is the hub of things. Things are just not normal in terms of, it's not the norm.
We're cutting edge is what you're telling me.
Yes. Thank you.
Starting to, I do see that happen. In mm-hmm. Sally's is percolating, and it's been percolating and building. Mm-hmm. And starting small, right? In terms of years ago, Carl, you'll remember Community Progress Initiative.
Oh, yes. Well, that was a big thing.
Helping build trusting relationships between and among people and institutions so that we could begin to think about and look at the community with new eyes, right? If our what is the kind of economy that we're going to grow here if we are not going to be the home to a Fortune 500 paper company? So this has been 17 years of percolating, right?
Right.
And I do think there's an appetite for change here and willingness to work together and collaborate that we've not seen in a very long time.
I'm interested, Sally, in your perspective, two naysayers who say this isn't going to... you know, the longer things take to happen, the more the naysayers come out. Oh, see, I told you it wasn't going to happen. Or it's never going to happen.
You know, there are naysayers everywhere. And coming from Madison, too, there are naysayers in Madison. Yes, yes. But really what happens, I think what's happening here, what I've observed, is the fact that support and encouragement are just becoming stronger. I sense a different voice coming from the community.
I'm glad you brought back the Community Progress Initiative, because that was, mm-hmm. when it started, that was a joint effort between mm-hmm. Encourage and also the Chamber of Commerce.
Yep.
And now you're telling me that this whole effort on the Tribune Building, we've gotten the business community aspect of this project, which is huge.
Yes.
And that's also a motivator for a lot of people that got involved,
yes.
and some of which, who share a certain passion, started a group club.
Yes.
A brewer. I saw some of them at the Brewfest. Beer Fest over at Winterfield this past...
Yes, they were there last night in great number, right? Because the brew pub and the microbrewery in the Tribune is of great interest to some local investors who are really interested in investing, particularly in that aspect. But I want to say something when you mentioned the Progress Initiative and the Chamber of Commerce, and that was 10 years ago.
Right.
A little over 10 years ago. I think there's something to be said for the conditions of readiness in the community to embrace the ideas of entrepreneurship. We need to grow entrepreneurship. And some things that might be broadly practiced in the community or not broadly known, it takes time to really create the kind of culture that is willing to be creative, willing to take risks, willing to fail, because all of those things are essential in creating a culture of entrepreneurship. Business leaders will repeatedly tell me, and why they got involved in advocating for the Tribune, is that we need a pipeline of business. Look at the kinds of businesses that we have, the composition of the whole business community. How many large corporations do we have present in the community anymore that likely don't have headquarters here but have a presence? How many mid-size mom-and-pop kind of businesses do we have, small business under local control? And how old are those businesses? Are they going to be in this community for years to come? Are they going to change hands through creating new businesses? And that's what entrepreneurship is about, is that kind of creating a pipeline of business opportunity that is going to be here to grow opportunity for our young people and our workforce.
And it's kind of interesting. Before we go to break, I want to bring this up because you said this message is being heard in Madison. Well, yesterday I recorded an interview with Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish on the Governor's Small Business Conference, Rothschild, next week. And there's going to be tomorrow on the noon report at 12:40 on the Community Spotlight will be Lieutenant Governor Rebecca Clayfish talking about that and how you, if you're an entrepreneur or a business person, how you can get involved with it. But one of the things I brought up to her was different partnerships we have in this community. As she mentioned, Wisconsin Rapids, this area is above average, and these partnerships that are being so it's being noticed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It is.
It's being noticed.
I just want to give kudos to the Lieutenant Governor because she was one of our most vocal champions inside the administration for the Tribune Project. And it was the Lieutenant Governor, in fact, that said, are you familiar with the State Building Commission budget? Because it's an area that you should pursue for the Tribune when she was here with us in person.
In part two, we're getting is here. And Sally Martiniak.
Yes, I did.
I got it right. She's the president of Forward Community Investments in Madison, and they've been involved with Encourage on a number of things. And we're going to talk about one of those things in just a little bit. Anything more in terms of wrapping a bow on what we were just talking about going into the break, in terms of the Tribune Building Project or blueprints?
So I can let's go into blueprints because Sally is here, and I want to honor that she's here, and you can talk to me pretty much most any time. Blueprints was a really important economic development training program that Encourage was able to launch 2 years ago with the support of the USDA.
I remember that.
Okay, and we had a lot of outside advisors and experts that came in and worked with companies that had projects, including Encourage with the Tribune, the YMCA, the county had their triangle development downtown, the county.
You mean the city with the triangle?
The city with the triangle, yes. Did I say the county?
Yes, you did.
Yeah, no, get it right, Kelly. The city with the triangle project, the county, and
I have that moment all the time.
I know. Stevens Point, the food share.
Neighborhood table.
Katrina and Hittner's were just in here before me. All right, well.
Farm to table.
It's going to come to me.
Okay.
Anyway, so these are the groups for, and the Housing Authority, locally.
Right.
So these are the groups that for 2 years met on a regular basis with teams from their institutions for training on how to think about doing economic development collaboratively, how to think differently about financing or new tools to be used to support project development in the area of finance. That's where Sally's institution, among others, and you just mentioned WIDA earlier, and others were in here, and they did really day-long panel discussions to help educate local leaders and individuals that have projects about how to utilize some of the tools available. And okay. I'm going to let Sally speak a little bit about what they did with us here and how it's open to
follow up on that.
So our staff. So I want to add this too. So one of the things that we do, we work again economic development and community development across the state. And one of the things that it's messy.
Yeah.
So so I think a lot of times going back to the comment in terms of will this project happen or what. I don't think that it's a matter of it's a matter of when. Mm-hmm. And this is not uncommon in communities for different iterations. So what's happening at the Tribune is perfectly normal in terms of the idea that it starts at one place and it may end at another. But that happens. We worked in Platteville with a project that was redeveloping an entire city block. And what happened there, what started off as just a new hotel with the involvement of the city and with the involvement of a nonprofit, what they now have, and new market tax credits from us and from WETA, is they now have a great new hotel. They hadn't had one for ages. It was 20 years since they had their last new hotel, and a library that's actually connected with the hotel. So they're sharing space, if you can believe it, which is really interesting, and a free health clinic, all in one place, and they talked.
Okay.
And so that's what we're here for, too, in terms of it's not only the Tribune, but it's, you know, look, you know, thinking in terms of what's happening now with the Y and with the Boys and Girls Club. With the Boys and Girls Club. And looking at how new market tax credits can also form a different collaboration with them and how they can also involve the community in that conversation of what that collaboration
is. Platteville?
Sure.
Because we have, and this is something we talked about last evening, we have that same level of prospective collaboration happening right now with investment in the downtown. And we put up an aerial map last evening that you'll be able to see on River Cities and probably also on our Tribune Facebook page. The aerial map shows downtown and the Tribune in one area, right?
Right.
The few immediately behind it. We already have Centralia Center there.
Right.
We have the Riverblock building, which is being renovated for Wood County employees.
Yeah. Right.
We have the waterfront enhancements that are happening through grant funding through the city. On the other side, we have the city's Triangle project.
Right.
We just approved, not long ago, a new aquatic center up near Witterfield.
Right.
And they just launched it at Mead, right? And so if you aggregate that money together, it's about $75 million coming together in that very defined area of downtown. There are tremendous opportunities. I think it's an unprecedented opportunity, actually, in terms of the amount of money coming into that space for these projects to really work well together, avoiding minimum community impact. And that's what we talked about last night as well. Kent Anderson from the Boys and Girls Club and Brett Salscheider from the Y were both at the Tribune meeting last night, and Kent spoke to the room about the project and the long-time collaboration and partnership with Encourage and with the Tribune. So I think there's tremendous opportunity on the horizon here, and this is the way that the participants felt last night in the Tribune meeting.
Okay, and that's why I'm curious about this.
Yes.
I like the fact that you bring outside eyes, because sometimes when you live amongst all of this, all it looks like is
sausage.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Good term.
Yeah.
Good term. And we don't see the opportunities, or we're blinded by what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying, hey, this is stay the course, is what I'm hearing. Is that?
Yes, that is. And I want to say that, you know, there are, anyone can have a good, safe idea, but I think what you have here is a good, great idea, and those great ideas just take more time.
Real quickly, how much do we need
remaining to raise for the Tribune building?
Yes.
In grants and contributions, we need $5.2 million. The rest of it we are able to do with the types of financing and debt that we're discussing here today. So our remaining goal is
in the process of trying to raise all of that.
Absolutely, we are. I said last night we just had a meeting with investors on Monday, and I want to call out in the remaining time that this is not just about big contributions or $1 million from the state. It also is about small, locally led contributions. And last night I gave credit to Richard Breen, who has been the leader behind the whole Monarch Butter.